You might like to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy, if you would. And we'll pray. Our Father in God, thank you. God, we're just us. Here we are. Your day, your time, for your glory, for you to be, for us to be profited, for you to be pleased. And our God, we thank you. All that has taken place is gone, and we're moving into tomorrow. So help us in every way that we might be the better and the more able to proceed in such a way pleasing to you, the outworking of your good will in our lives in the world. In Christ's name, amen. God, in his wonderful grace, has a wonderful plan. The plan has to be worked out. History has proceeded all the way to where we are right now in this period of history, in this time of grace. And so, God, always for Israel, he wanted them to know. He gave them great help by way of the prophets to understand by way of his word, to be able to understand and go forward. We want to be able to go forward the more we understand as we go forward to where we're going, how we're going to get there, what are we up against in making the journey. So we want to be prepared each moment to proceed down the corridor of time. So here's 2 Timothy chapter 3, along with all the wonderful epistles, etc. And in chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, darkening days, deadly days, difficult days are coming." Now we need to know that because we're going down the corridor of time. We need to understand that. And then you go through and God gives us some help in the chapter 3. And you come over to verse 13, as you know. It isn't getting better and better. That's what you want to keep in mind. Why do we need to know that? Because otherwise, children, great children in each generation, what are they going to face? And to what measure are we doing our part to help them to be able to proceed? Verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now that isn't very positive. That isn't very helpful. Not very good. Deceive and being deceived. Worse. And if there was ever a time in history in our government to demonstrate that, it's certainly been in these months, in these 4 years. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful demonstration of deception, etc. That's just plain reality. Wow. So, having said that, continue. Chapter 4. Not only is that in the world, which they lived, and we're living in it. Chapter 4, verse 2. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Welcomed or unwelcomed. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why do we keep doing it? Because the day is coming. And we have had the day. Think of going back in history and the early church. And the early church was wonderfully, wonderfully fit and able to do many things and to be a great testimony. As time went on, it wore away, Reformation and all of that, and we lost the wonderful testimony of the early church, and it became the churches. And we've gone down the corridor of time. Here we are. But the wonderful doctrine, the wonderful thing that was understood about the Lord Jesus Christ is missing. Verse 3, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Here's the hearers. The hearers don't want to hear. They're going to get darker and darker, deeper, worse and worse. And the Bible is going to get less and less and less and less and less. Truth is going to get less and less and less. And without turning there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, etc., John, why are you writing the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation? I want people to know, I want the believers to know, that's why Revelation, I want the believers to know what's happening in your day, John, and what's going to happen in our day, and all that will happen hereafter. I want them to know the future and how it's going. That's what I want them to know. They need to know the future so that they proceed properly and not in a dream world, being wonderfully realistic to be optimistic. Now, having said that, in history, going back to our Lord in his earthly ministry before he was crucified, spent some time to make sure that the information and how it was going to go would be understood. So back over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, you would recall that we shared that together, and in the process, all the way over there to verse 19. And in the light of that, we shared together that the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll do that in just one place, John the Baptist, what did he do in chapter 3 of Matthew? Preaching the kingdom of heaven at his hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king, the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, introducing the king, the king of kings. And the king, the kingdom of heaven. If you want, the king and the kingdom are right behind me. I'm pointing to them. And all you have to do is receive him as your Savior and Lord and King. That's all you have to do. And he did that. Then chapter 4, remember, Matthew, that one you can look at. And the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, picks it up. From that time, Jesus began. Remember, John's going to be put in prison. Herod's going to take his head. Verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, same thing John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king was giving the same message. And we shared in chapter 10 and all that. I'll do that. Why not? I'm already here. You're here. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, he sends the 12 out, etc. Chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what to do. And what are you going to say to them? And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So all of Jerusalem, all of Palestine would be put on notice that Jesus Christ was there, the king, and the king, and the kingdom, and all of the wonderful truth of the Old Testament, and all of history that was to be fulfilled. He is here to make it happen. Wow. And if they had the Old Testament and all those truths. Now, having said that, you remember chapter 12, Israel is a nation, Pharisees, Sadducees, etc., Essenes. They reject the king. They're going to crucify him. They reject the kingdom. So, here's the disciples that just went out and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We represent the king. And he's being rejected, officially rejected. We don't want him. You know, we have no king but Caesar. So we didn't want him. That's where Matthew 13 comes in, as we shared. Here's the disciples. Why the back over at Matthew 13? And remember, the kingdom. But what happened to the wonderful truths of the Old Testament? What happened when the king is rejected? So what happens to the Bible? Well, the Bible doesn't go anywhere without the God of the Bible. And therefore, 13 verse 11, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. So the disciples need to understand. The world doesn't understand. So therefore, as we move through, verse 18, I'll read verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. To know, to understand how things are going to go and why they're going. To be up, to be in the top, to be right up front, I understand what's happening. It's good to be able to say that. I understand. If I was in the government and had research or the Secret Service or something, and think I need to be able, I know if you were in that business, spying and everything, wouldn't you want to be able to know what's going to happen? That's what I want to do. And they knew. Often with Pearl Harbor, they knew what was going to happen. They just didn't get it connected. Wow. So now, Chapter 13, they know they're blessed. So God's going to help them, help us. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So God is going to give them a very wonderful, simple way to understand the truth. The truth, the wonderful, wonderful thing he wants them to understand. So, having said that, so we'll try to take it apart. Now, God, you always give information. God doesn't leave you in the dark if you really want to understand. So here's God's word from Genesis to Revelation, and God is going to have the information you need. All you have to do is understand it. So therefore, what about, well, here's the sower, over to chapter 3, verse 4, that 13, verse 4, verse 3, I should say, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. So, in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Who is the sower? Now, God's going to give you the clue, a guess, so you'll know always. So God sets the pattern up as you're going to look at the future, how it's going to go. So who's the sower? Well, the sower is this wonderful, wonderful word, is the Son of Man, as we shared in Sunday school, etc. The sower is the Son of Man in a most wonderful way. And if I can, picking up in verse 13:37. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the, underline, the Son of Man. So we want to know who's the main sower in the illustration. Who is going to be doing the sowing? God is. God is. The Son of Man. Son of Man is going to do it. Now, having said that, and he's going to do it using his disciples, his witnesses, and all of that, Acts 1:8, etc. So, we got the sower. Now, what about the seed? The seed, the seed. Chapter 13, verse 19, again. We know who the sower is, so we don't have to guess about that. And when it comes to the seed, verse 19, and the seed, which we're looking at, snatches away the seed. So the seed is the word, the seed is the word of God, the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom, 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. What was it all about? Well, if you were standing there and listening and the Lord was talking, we just went through, they went through the up and down the land they went, telling the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but they rejected it. So the disciples are there, like we'd be, asking, well, what happened? Well, God said, listen, the seed was sown, the seed. What was the seed? You told them clearly the kingdom of repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You told them. And here's the king. You could have all done that, but you didn't do it. You didn't do it. So the kingdom. So the word of the kingdom in its most wonderful way. Now, so in order to put that even, and remember now, here's Matthew and Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. All of them are on the three windows to look at what we're looking at in God's, and helping us understand chapter 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. Go to Luke 8, if I can, verse 11. Hold your finger here, and Luke chapter 8, among other things. And note, we're looking at the sower, the seed. Verse 11, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed, underline, is the word of God. The sower is the Son of Man, underline. The seed is the word of God, underline. Got that? Seed, sower. We got that. So, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, back over to Matthew chapter 13. And you will note, please, in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, and we have another piece of the puzzle. Not only is there a sower, that's the Son of Man, the seed is the Word of God. And the wicked one, in the middle of verse 19, the wicked one, the wicked means sorrow, pain, sorrow, heartache, malignancy, bad, bad, malignant, wicked, bad, bad. So, the wicked one, so we don't have to guess. I should have had hold your finger in Luke. But go back on your way back to Luke, to Mark chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 15. And the Mark 4, 15. And these are they by the wayside, which the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan the wicked one. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the wicked one is Satan. Over to Mark, just to do it. And in Mark chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, picking up in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word, taking away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we don't have to, no question, we got the seed is the sower. The seed is the word of God. The sower is the Son of Man. The wicked one is the devil. So we got the three people, three ones involved without any question. So back over to chapter 13. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the hearers. Now, John the Baptist spoke to them. If you lived in Jerusalem, in Palestine, would you, especially Jerusalem, would you know John the Baptist? Would you have heard of John the Baptist in his wonderful ministry? Uh-huh. You would all know, with the hearing of the ear, you heard him. When the Lord Jesus Christ went up and down towns, cities, Galilee, would you have heard him? Wouldn't you have gone? The healings, the free food, feeding, healings, wouldn't you have heard him? Sure you would. Did you hear him? I did. Now when the 12 went up and down each village, and you lived in the village, do you remember when the apostles, the 12, one of the 12, came through the town? Oh, yeah. You're all hearers. You're all people that heard. Aren't you? Make believe. You're all there and you heard. No question. So the question, the devil is going to come and take away all that they hear. They're hearers. But it's not going to do any good. Not everyone's a hearer. The people living in South Africa, North Africa, in Asia, England, they didn't hear. They didn't hear. No, they did not yet. They didn't hear. But they did. Now, what do we know? We're talking about people. The Lord's talking because the disciples want to know what. Well, what about we told them what to do? We told them how to, say it simply, we told them how to know the King and be saved. Why didn't they know the King? Why didn't they honor you, Lord? Why didn't they get saved? Why didn't they believe? They're hearers. And God has to help them, disciples, and us, because we're living in a world that the people go to church each all the time and all the different things people do. And they hear. They hear the Bible on the radio and read it sometime. Not so much anymore. All of it's disappearing, dissipating. But in the process, they're hearers. We're talking about people that hear the Bible. Not people that don't hear the Bible. They don't hear the Bible. They don't know. It's people that are hearing. What about people that hear the Bible? They hear the Bible, but it doesn't go anywhere. They could sit 10 years and hear and never go anywhere. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so they hear, they make them hear to make them see, etc. And hearing is the key. Hearing with the ear. Hearing. Hang on. We'll try to lock that in. Why do you say that? Because hearing with the ear. God, go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve, God gave them ears like us. And Adam and Eve knew they were created and they were to enjoy God. How were they to enjoy God? Because God talked to them. God helped them. And every day, God talked to them in the garden, etc. And he talked to them. So they knew. How did they know what not to do? He told them, so with the hearing of the ear, every tree of, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. That's what they heard. How does God communicate? How did God want to communicate? Straightway, face to face. That's why Moses sets the example. He shows, what are we going to do when we go up face to face? You aren't going to have a Bible. What are you going to do? You're going to have a direct movement with God. So here we are, and here they are, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had the hearing of the ear. That's what they had. Now, God, and that, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, etc., how did God help them? He talked to them. How do they, what do you do when you talk? You're supposed to do what? Not read lips, you know. You're supposed to hear with the ear. That's what ears are for. Ears are for the hearing, aren't they? That's what they're for. And God gave them so we could communicate. Therefore, Deuteronomy, if you would, in chapter 4. Thank you. And in Deuteronomy, in chapter 4, you would recall, if I may, and chapter 4 may go to verse 1, which you may be familiar with again. Chapter 4, verse 1, Deuteronomy. Now therefore, hearken, that's the hearing of the ear. Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Why? In order to do them. Why do we want to do them? Because that we may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So we want to have a hearing ear. And verse 2, don't add and don't subtract from what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Now, Israel was to be a testimony, a nation, to all of the nations. So when you come over to verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, said Moses, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it, across the Jordan. Verse 6, what are we going to do there? Keep therefore and do these things, them. 4, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. The nations are going to look at you, and they're going to see you, and they're going to see you have a unique relationship to God. God, a straight relationship to God. God face to face, person to person, as it were. And you're able to know God. You're able to know, you hear God, you see. If you were going to go and say a thing, if they help you, you're going to go, and God said to me. And some would just say, I said, God just said that to me. No. And people look at you. Who said that to you? God said that to you. God? What God? 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 I didn't hear anything. God said that. Yeah. They don't hear. So, the world is what? The relationship is there. We just shared it this morning and being in the body. Christ is the body. You're the believers. The Christ in each believer comes together to show his wonderful person. That's what it is. That's why we sit here. To show his wonderful person. Not our person, his person. So therefore, Israel is to show God's wonderful person as a nation. And you will know, please, in verse 6, keep therefore and do them all of these, this unique relationship that you have. Keep therefore and do them by way of understanding God. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall, what? Hear all these statues. They're going to see and hear what you do and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh and near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things we call upon him for? And what nation, verse 8, is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? In other words, the relationship that Israel has to God is going to be demonstrated to the nations. The church has a unique relationship to God, the body, and that's what people need to see, the body. They don't need to see our answered prayer or something in a secular, in a worldly sense. They need to see the body. What body? Christ. Christ is the head of the body. That's why we're here. Now, so therefore, what are they going to do when they look at Israel? They're going to find God. That's going to find God. Because Israel talks to God. The tabernacle's right smack in the middle of them in the wilderness. Now, having said that, that's what they're to do. Hearing. Hear. The devil's going to take what you hear with the ear and take it. If you aren't hearing, there's no problem. But if you are hearing, that's what he does. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. What is the result of Israel hearing God at Mount Sinai, etc.? And you will notice, please, chapter 32, directly in the light of verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For, as God said, looking at Israel, they're going to cross the Jordan, etc. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward, means crooked, not straight, crooked generation, children in whom is no faith. Hang on to that. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. They hear. The devil's going to take away what you're hearing. The other people don't have to worry. They don't hear anything. But the believer, the people that believe, hear. And the devil's business is to take away what is heard. Now, and they have no faith, no reliance upon God. Back over, if you would, to Matthew 13. And you will note, please. So the key is having an ear to hear. And you will notice all over the place, how are you going to read your Bible? Chapter 13, verse 9. God, what are you saying? Who, in order, he hasn't even explained anything yet to them. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Be a hearer. But when you're a hearer, you have to understand that is not what the world system doesn't want you to be a hearer. A hearer will make for understanding. If I can take away what you hear, you will not understand because I took it away. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God's doing his wonderful thing, he that has ears to hear, present tense, let him be hearing and hearing and hearing. We'll go back to chapter 11, where we remember we said, in the process, they weren't believing. Chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse, he's just going to say it right in the middle of the not believing people. Verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, verse 15, let him hear. You're going to keep saying it. Why aren't you hearing? And when you're hearing, why doesn't it go anywhere? Because God wants us to hear. The devil doesn't want us to hear. Simple. doesn't want us to hear. So that's why the pulpit changes. We have music and worship and all the colored lights and some things, settings, all the different things. Why? In order to make a worship service. And I remember years ago, I think I said it with it in the IFCA National Board meeting and that kind of thing, and they brought up the question, trying to figure out how to get the churches across the country to worship God, the Bible-believing fundamental churches, to get them to worship God. And they were trying to figure out, because they knew they weren't worshiping. How's that? And it was a problem. And the board was real concerned. Worshiping, got to worship him, worship God. And that's when they went and spent a few thousand dollars to hire a worldly consultant system to come in and teach us how to worship, you see. And they hired. And that's when I spoke up and said, anyway, it doesn't matter. You just have to understand that was the board. Well, what can we do? And they voted for it. They spent thousands of dollars to tell them how to worship. Oh, life's so wonderful. Now, in the process, here we are, God, and we got to have ears to hear. Over to Romans in chapter 10. All the way, there's all kinds of ways. I'm just trying to get you to see hearing. Exercise your hearing. And in the process, and your ears. Aren't you glad? Aren't you, some of you people have glasses? Aren't you glad there are such thing as glasses? Where would you be, some of you, without glasses? You know, you'd have to be like Benjamin Franklin and have something, you know. I have that, if you ever want to look. I have the same Ben Franklin, his type of glasses. I have them in my box of goodies. What Ben Franklin had, the same glasses. So you, what can I say? A bunch of stuff. Now, so in the process, here in the process, Romans chapter 10, and remember, now not going back to Deuteronomy 30, but staying up here in Romans in chapter 10, which is going back to Deuteronomy 30, etc., and I'm going to pick up, if I can, in verse 6. Remember, Israel had, they didn't have to go far. God was right there in the middle of them. God was right there to talk to them. God, they had Moses and all of those wonderful things. So here in Romans 10, 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, and what is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? How do we get to God to hear him? You don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go down to the depths of Hades or anywhere else. God is right here. That's what they needed to know. Therefore, verse 8, but what saith the word is nigh thee, right next to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And here we are listening and exercising God's wonderful word. And therefore, by believing, we need to believe in thine heart. So when you slide over to verse 12, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, God, that's why we have the Bible. God said it. You know, hold your finger right here. Go over to a simple thing. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 24. Watch it. Verily, 5 and 24. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that, what's the verb? Hear. hear with the ear. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word, heareth my word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, or girl, man, hears my word. Are you hearing my word? And opens the door. That's how you get saved. You hear, and you open the door. That's how you get saved. But the devil doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's going to do what? He's not going to make it happen. Not going to let it happen very good and not very easy. Therefore, picking up in the light of that, if I can, here's God's word written and written in the most wonderful way, and we need to believe it. We need to believe and have faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Well, what are we going to trust in? Faith, to be persuaded. Persuaded, resting down. What are we resting down on? God and what he said. We're believing what God said in his word. That's what we're doing. So as we believe in what God said, that's how we get saved, by believing it. Now, what does the devil want? The devil doesn't want you to do that, want anyone to do that. So now, over if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. And you will note, in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 40. Chapter 4 and in verse 40. I just want to get the mood. God's talking to them. Each time he's talking to them, and he says the same thing after he said it. You heard what I said, voice, you hear what I said. God said all these things to them, and then what? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by way, the vessel, the agency, by way of the word of God. Okay. Mark chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Faith cometh by hearing. And you know what I did and who I am, what I said. Why don't you believe? I told you, God, what are you trusting? God, you're going to say something. Who's saying it? God is. Therefore, believe. What are you believing? By having faith. Faith is believing. Having faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, sliding over if I can, that way you're in there, Mark chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, and you would recall, God says in the most wonderful way, in light of the context, picking up verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, I want you to, present tense, have faith. Where? In God. Where are we going to put our reliance, our confidence, our persuasion? We're persuaded God means what he says and says what he means. And we're going to rest hearing. That's what we did. Faith come very, very, say, he that heareth, that's what I'm reading, what he said. I'm going to rest down on God in a most wonderful way. And I'm going to let God be my inspiration for my perspiration. I'm going to let God inspire my heart to go to work, school, home, easy, hard, much, little. I'm going to let God inspire my heart. Have faith in God. Let him be the stirrer of your heart to go through the thick and the thin of it. As we come to the last days, which he said, I want you to understand them. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to understand people here. And people, well, they heard. Hearing isn't, no, it's believing, having faith, because you heard. So you say, well, I told them. Well, that's good. I read it to them. That's good. But hearing, they may not have heard. They may not have heard. And it's all gone. Now, picking up, please, because it's the wayside. And the wayside, we're sort of ahead of ourselves, the wayside. Seed, the sower, like just a sower. And you have the basket of seed and you throw it and some of it goes out on the roadway. But the roadway is also, everyone walks on the roadway. The wagons, the horses, everything. And we have the cars going up and down the highway on a blacktop. What good's a bunch of seeds out there in the street? Wouldn't do you any good at all. You know, you throw someone out there and some of that seed hit the ground. It ain't going to go, it just can't go anywhere. It isn't that the ground didn't get it. It's so beaten down. So the hearers traveling down the road, hold your finger here, over to Matthew and chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, you would recall, remember the God is talking about Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you want him to be king, etc. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because, verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Our Lord Jesus said, John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's pretty narrow. There's no one else. My friends, my dreams, my whatever, no, wouldn't make any difference. Apart from him, you can't get to God safely. Wow. It's a narrow way. That's why people don't like it. It isn't flexible. It isn't tolerant about other things and other people. No, it isn't. It isn't meant to be tolerant. It's meant to save you from being all of the bad things that are in the world, to save you out of the world. So now, having said that, back over, if you would, and in the process, over to Romans in chapter 1. This time, Romans in 1. And you will note the wonderful treatise on righteousness. And you will note Romans in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 5. By whom we have received grace and the apostleship for obedience to hear under, to obey. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed among all nations for his name. So what are we supposed to be doing? Bearing evidence by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith, by faith, we're going to honor God. What was the problem with Israel? They aren't going to have any faith. They're going to have the word. They're going to hear the word. The priest will read the word, and they'll go a little bit for a little while sometime to Jerusalem, and they'll read all the one, like in Ezra and Nehemiah, and they'll read the Bible, but they hear, but it won't last. So now, faith cometh by hearing, so to all the nations. That's what you're going to do. So that's what Romans. Romans is about God's wonderful righteousness. And God is going to say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you will notice, please, going down to verse 17. Herein is the righteousness of God, 1 and 17. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven. Faith, in the direction of faith, that is written. The just shall live by faith. How are we going to walk? We walk by faith and not by sight. And we keep walking by faith. We keep going through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. How? By faith. Morning, noon, and night. By faith. Work, home, easy, hard. By faith. That's how we go. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we need to what? Believe what God is saying and what He has said. Chapter 16. If I can, chapter 16. And picking up, please. Oh, sliding down to verse 19. For your obedience, there it is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. Down to verse 26. But now is made manifest, public, clear, plain, made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, He has made known to all nations, what? His word. That's what we are, His witnesses. His word. For the reason, for the obedience, there's your little word, of faith, for the obedience. What are we supposed to do? Under, to be here, under, submission, obedience, to believe. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what people are supposed to do, believe God. But they don't believe God. That's the trouble. They have a hear, they're hearing, but they're not believing. So now, having said that, back over, if you would, to chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, please. If I can, in verse 19. So we know anyone that hears the word of the kingdom, the word of God, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And that's why all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people rejected Christ. That's why the parables are being spoken. Because God spoke to them directly, and they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to listen, and they're going to go and crucify Him. That's what they're going to do. So anyone that hears, present tense, the word of the kingdom. So people that are hearing the word of the kingdom, in verse 19, when anyone, all the people that are hearing, present tense, who hear the word, and there are those that refuse to hear. We already have that. We said that a while ago. So we aren't talking about people generally. The great host of the world don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear. They don't want to know. Could they pick up a Bible? Could they have a Bible? Could they read the Bible? Will the system even honor the Bible? The systems all around many times in many parts of the world will not allow the Bible, not even to have a Bible, etc. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so what do you know, without turning there in Romans 18, chapter 1, they heard, they hear. They are, Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, 21, they are without excuse, because God, inside of them, God moved their heart when they were little so that they would know Him. That's all human beings. There's no one born on the face of the earth that God didn't do that. Why? Because Christ died for all of them. So they all hear. They all have it in here. Now, what are we going to do with the God that we know? And as you read Romans 1:18, they didn't want to hear. They are without excuse. They professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. And they twisted God and got into idolatry of all kinds of ways, religiously and all kinds, so that they didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. And a way that will help you see that easily is go over to Psalm 10. Psalm 10's easy. And in Psalm 10, picking up if I may, you'll catch it, flavor of it. Psalm 10 is going to help us. Would you notice, please? In Psalm 10, I'm going to slide, I'll read verse 1. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thy face, hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked, verse 2, the wicked in his pride does execute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. And you go down, and what about the wicked? Well, verse 3, the wicked boast in his heart's desire. He blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, verse 4, though through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Verse 5, his ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. He doesn't believe God will ever judge anything. And as for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. No one's going to get me. I have a wonderful plan for my life. Verse 6. He has said in his heart, I will not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. So keep reading all the psalm. In verse 11, he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. God doesn't care, and God's nowhere. And now that's the world. And the world doesn't hear. You and I are still in a country where we can have this freedom to come together to hear, to practice being saved. That's what the pilgrims wanted to do. There wasn't a question of reading the Bible. They all could have gone home and read the Bible. They needed to be assembled together. And that's what they wanted to come over for, so that they could be safely assembled together. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's the hearers, and the devil's going to come along, back over to chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, and the devil's going to go to the people that are hearing, not the people that don't hear. They no problem. They're all doing what they're doing. But the people that are hearing the Bible. So that's where we come in, people that are hearing. Chapter 13. And you will notice in verse 19. And when they're hearing. And when anyone's hearing the kingdom, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, the devil, Satan. And he cometh, the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. And this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside, because the seed can't go anywhere. And if the seed can't go anywhere, it isn't going to do anything except slip around and disappear. Because you've got, I heard that on Sunday, make believe. I heard that on Sunday. I heard that wherever. I heard that. And then I go, I got my job. If I'm work and my family and my problems and everything in my head and heart. And what happened? What happened to what you heard? It's trampled on. Trampled on by what? All the thoughts, because you think like people are thinking of the news and people and said and phone calls and all kinds of things. And what happened to it? Gone. Wow. All gone. Now, having said that, what does Satan do? He catches away. The word verb to catch away, to snatch away, to carry off by force, sudden, to take something, to snap it up. Did you ever, not you people probably, did you ever, or all of us, or probably it's true for all of us, we hear something we need to understand, but very, very quickly, it's all gone. It's all gone. You ever that? You hear something? Yeah, you really know, I'd like to have it. What happened to it? You ever asked yourself that? What happened to what I heard? Why did it disappear like that? Where did it go? Okay. The devil comes along and takes it away. The world system, etc. Discouragement, disappointment, and dismay, and all those, all the different D's and everything. Wow. We have them. We do. We don't have to have them if we're abiding like the branch, like we shared this morning. God does not approve of discouragement. God does not approve of depression. God does not approve of disappointment. We do it, but God doesn't approve of that. That's totally unnecessary in our life if we're abiding. But if we aren't abiding, all of those words exist, and we go up and down. Now, so therefore, he catches away, he snatches away the word. So in closing, in the light of that, catches away. So here we are reading, and God, I want to understand the world in which I live. I want to understand if people are hearing, if they just hear it. But just hearing it isn't assuring you that it's going to happen. If they just hear, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So don't get disappointed. Don't get discouraged. You say, but they heard. Don't back down, quiet. So God, here we are. And the devil's going to take away all these different things, so we aren't going to get discouraged. The devil catches it away. That's why you and I sit here, get back and forth, trying to lock it all in a little better each time, so that we understand the better. Catches away. Now God, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose it. I want to hang on to it. So God, help me. John chapter 10. John and chapter 10. And you remember the sheep and the shepherd. And John chapter 10, picking up, please, into God's wonderful accounting of the sheep and the shepherd. I'll read verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches, there's your verb, the devil catches, takes away the seed. The wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The wolf catches them. Ah, that's what happens. The catches, that's right, to lose, get caught up with the enemy. Chapter 10. On the other hand, here we are, safe. Why? I know about the wolf, wolves and sheep's clothing and all of that. John chapter 10. May I go, please, verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What else? Neither shall any man pluck them. There's the word catch. To catch away, to snatch, the same as in Matthew 13. Neither shall any man snatch them out of my hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. No one takes them from me. Of all that the Father giveth me, I will lose nothing. No one can have them. No one. Wow. So, God, the future, worse and worse, but we're part of the outworking of it to bear witness to his wonderful grace. Closing, 1 Thessalonians, as you would guess, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, going directly, our Lord's return. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," here we are right now, "unto the coming of our Lord, shall not prevent or hinder them that are already there," Peter, James, and John. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," etc. Verse 15, 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now," verse 17, "then we which are alive," here we are, and remain, sitting here, "shall be," what's going to happen to us if the Lord, "caught up," there's your same verb. The devil catches away the seed. The wolf catches the sheep. And God catches us up. No man shall pluck them out of his hand. And God said, "I'm going to take you up just like that." 1 Corinthians 15, "in the twinkling of an eye, in the splitting of an atom, you're going to go. The devil's going to take my word, and I'm going to take you. Quickly. Even so, come." That's where we are. We aren't looking. All we are is representing God, the God of history, as it's outworked. And we're waiting for the Lord to take us. That's our assignment. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word. Help us a little bit to understand. God, we want to be hearers and hearers that are honoring you in such a way that we have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So God, that's what we're supposed to do. Hearing of the word, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by way of your word, your wonderful word. Thank you for telling and helping us understand a little bit, inch by inch. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. God, we're just part traveling down the road, work and home and school and easy and hard and all of the lousy things that are around us. But then, God, you're wonderful working because you never said you would expect to find paradise on earth. No, you brought paradise into our heart in the person, in your wonderful person, God, to take us home. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.